following is a presentation of 65 Toss Power Trap Productions.
Chiefs. Chargers. Always a big game. Last time, Kansas City had already clinched their spot in the playoffs and traveled to San Diego with seemingly little to play for. But you couldn't say that for everyone on the roster. Mike McCoy's team may not have been familiar with names like Nile Davis, Ron Parker, and James Michael Johnson on Saturday. But they became well aware of who they were on Sunday.
Rivers zipped a pass, intercepted, picked off by Ron Parker. Parker slips inside the 25.
He's throwing down the field right side.
A.J. Jenkins over the shoulder, inside the 20.
Nile Davis inside the 10. 5, touchdown, Kansas City, Nile Davis.
In the end, the Chargers squeaked out a win in overtime. But the Chiefs and their feisty second stringers may have been the real winners. Now, with the team once again facing San Diego, many of those backups are in starting roles. But as we already know, they won't be intimidated by the big stage.
It will go down as one of the most forgotten, important games in Chiefs history. Welcome to Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. Last year, in Week 17, the Kansas City Chiefs had a playoff spot already wrapped up. The San Diego Chargers were hosting the Chiefs, and they needed to win the game to make the AFC playoffs. Andy Reid made a big decision, resting most of his starters. But it became important because it was a breakout game for many current Chiefs in their careers. Nile Davis being center stage at running back for Jamal Charles. Chase Daniel was great at quarterback. Jay Howard, James Michael Johnson, Ron Parker. The list went on and on of backups who played great and set up this year and the rest of their careers as a Kansas City Chief. In fact, Kansas City got within a missed 41-yard field goal in the final seconds to win the game. Now the Chiefs are back in San Diego for the first time since that game for a key division matchup, and we'll get you ready. In fact, we'll go under the helmet with running back Nile Davis, who was so great in that game a year ago. We'll also talk with assistant head coach and wide receiver guru David Culley about his group and what makes this offense so unique and why you should be excited about the next 11 weeks in the Chiefs kingdom. But first, we'll check in with Chiefs reporter BJ Kissel, who will give you everything you need to know to get ready for Chiefs Chargers Part 1.
Let's take a look at the Chiefs' upcoming opponent on Sunday, the divisional rival 5-1 San Diego Chargers. Now, the Chargers come into this game off a 4-point win over the Oakland Raiders last Sunday, and they have stood out through their first six games in a few key offensive categories. The first, you have to look at passing yards. They are sixth in the NFL, averaging 285 yards per game, but they've had a lot of injuries in the backfield at running back, where they are 25th in the NFL, averaging just 93 yards per game on the ground. On the defensive side, they've been equally as impressive, ranking in the top 10 in both pass and rush defense. They are fourth in the NFL against the pass, averaging just 209 yards given up per game. And against the run, they're ninth in the NFL, giving up just 99 yards per game. You can't talk about the San Diego Chargers and not lead with quarterback Phillip Rivers, who is arguably the best quarterback in the NFL right now. He's leading the NFL in passer rating at 117. The Chargers as an offense are tied for fifth in the NFL, averaging 27.3 points per game. They are tied for the most 20-yard completions in the NFL through their six games with 28. The Chiefs defense, on the other hand, is leading the NFL and only giving up 11 passes of 20-plus yards. So that's an area to pay attention to in this game. When you look at his weapons, there are four guys that really stand out in the passing game. First would be Malcolm Floyd, the 6'5" receiver who's known to make big plays down the field. You have veteran Eddie Royal, who's been making plays for the Chargers offense since he arrived in San Diego. And then second-year player Keenan Allen has really been a threat for them on those shallow crossing routes. He really is good at yards after the catch, an area the San Diego Chargers have been fantastic at so far this season. And finally, you have to look at 34-year-old tight end Antonio Gates, who seems to be doing it forever. He leads the team with 6 touchdown receptions, not a player the Chiefs aren't familiar with. And again, they're going to have to pay attention and try to corral him, as he's one of Philip Rivers' favorite targets. Now, for the Chargers defense, they rank 2nd in the NFL, giving up just 15.2 points per game. They have 10 different players that have at least 1 sack. They like to bring pressure from a lot of different places. You saw that in the game against the Oakland Raiders. They were bringing cornerbacks and defensive backs after that rookie quarterback for the Raiders and Derek Carr. There is an area that the Chargers defense really does struggle. They rank last in the NFL in touchdown efficiency inside the red zone. 75% of the time that opposing offenses get inside the red zone against the Chargers defense, they walk away with a touchdown. That's also an area that the Chiefs offense really excels. They are 4th in the NFL, scoring touchdowns on 70.6% of their drives that get into the red zone. Anytime the Chiefs offense gets into the red zone, it's something to keep in mind in this game. A couple of players to monitor during this game are defensive backs on each team. Now, one, Chris Owens, the Chiefs cornerback, banged up in their game against the San Francisco 49ers. And then for the San Diego Chargers, somebody Chiefs fans are familiar with in cornerback Brandon Flowers, who's been playing very well for them, but got banged up in the game against the Raiders. Both these guys, you know, are going to want to play. But if they're not available, look for 2 rookies to step up and really try to make an impact for themselves in the defensive backfield. For the Chiefs, it would be 3rd-round rookie Philip Gaines, who has made some spectacular plays on special teams so far this season. And for the Chargers, it would be their 1st-round pick out of TCU, Jason Verrett, who has also made some plays, had the big interception last week against the Raiders. But going into this game for the Chiefs, it is all about stopping quarterback Philip Rivers. They go as he goes. It's a challenge the Chiefs defense is up for, and they'll be ready for.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Sprint, the official wireless service provider of the Chiefs. And by Truman Medical Centers, TMC and the Chiefs, partners for a healthy community. Coming up on Chiefs Insider.
With the backs that we have, you get those guys beyond the line of scrimmage. They're always capable of scoring. If they score, they're going to score simply because somebody out wide or one of those tight ends downfield has made a key block to spring those guys.
Welcome back to the show. One of the great things about Andy Reid's coaching staff is its continuity. David Culley has been with Andy Reid almost every step of the way in Andy's great coaching career. David Culley is the assistant head coach for the Chiefs and also coaches the wide receivers. I had a chance to sit down with David and talk about this offense, his position group, and what they need to do to get better in the next 11 weeks of the season.
David, a bye week is always a chance to kind of step back, take a breath. Your position group, where are they right now?
Well, you know what? We need to be more consistent. I think we're more consistent now at this point in the year than we were last year because everything was new. Still been playing with Dwayne and Donnie, who's been with me. They've had a year under the belt now getting in this. And they are so much further along now than we were at this time last year. Junior Hemingway now is playing a bigger role than he played last year as our number 3 receiver. The experience that he got last year in the small amount of time he was on the field has shown up. I was very happy for him the last game. He made some plays for us. He had some opportunities, and he was ready. And so I know the things that he's learned from having a small part that he had last year has carried over into this year, and that's been very encouraging.
One of the interesting things about this offense, one of the fun things, is to see Travis Kelce lined up as a wide receiver running receiver routes. Jamal Charles doing the same thing. DeAnthony Thomas doing the same thing. How much do you have to work with Coach Melvin and Coach Bieniemy in kind of taking those guys into your role?
Well, in Coach Reed's offense, this thing has always been where everybody knows everybody else's spot. And when we move, like we're in regular personnel, for example, we got a fullback, we got Sherm in the game, and then we got Jamal in the game, you could end up seeing them playing wide receiver because of our formations, the multi-formations we do, the multi-personnels that we do. So when we teach this offense, when coach teaches this offense, we basically teach concepts. And when you are moved to a certain position out of your normal position, there's a concept that we already know. So when you go to that particular position, you know what that concept is. So there are times when I've got wide receivers that have lined up in the backfield. And that's the beauty of coach's offense, is the concepts that we have. Everybody has to know that. And so, of course, when Kelsey goes from tight end inside to out wide, Anthony, those guys move from inside to out wide, they have an idea of what goes on out there.
Another beautiful thing that I see, and I have to follow the ball when I do play-by-play, but when I watch the tape the next day, I'll see your guys make a key block on a screenplay or the run game. What about teaching them the blocking techniques you have to teach them?
I've always felt this way about blocking. Blocking is want to. You know, if you want to and you treat that block the same way you treat that pass concept, you'll make that block. 4-yard runs in this league stay 4-yard runs because somebody outside didn't make a block to turn it into a 20-yard run. When you see a 20-yard run or a deep run, a guy that's done a run for 60, somebody outside, whether it's a tight end or a wide receiver, has been downfield and made a key block to spring that guy for that extra yardage. And that is critical. That's another thing that we want to make sure that we take to another level, because with the backs that we have in this offense, I mean, you get those guys beyond the line of scrimmage and then they're always capable of scoring. And if they score, they're going to score simply because somebody out wide or one of those tight ends downfield has made a key block to spring those guys. And Mitch, you don't really have to make a block. It's more or less just get in the way. Just be where you're supposed to be and kind of get in their way. Because in this league, the good backs or the good people with the ball in their hands, one hand will never bring those guys down. And with the guys that we got, sometimes two hands don't even bring them down.
Everything about game day at Arrowhead is special. But as any fan who's ever been to a Chiefs game will tell you, no victory is complete until it's been punctuated by the victorious march down Arrowhead's iconic spiral ramps. But like any skater, for Sean Malto, simply walking just isn't enough. Turn on Chiefs Insider.
The reason I play the game is for respect. You play good defenses that you have to respect. You know, in return, all I can ask for is that the defense respect me. They know I can go around them, go through them.
Welcome back to Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. Earlier in the show, when we talked to David Coley, we talked about all the weapons the Chiefs have to attack the San Diego Chargers in the next 11 weeks. One of those big weapons is running back Nile Davis. He showed what he could do last year when he had a 108-yard kickoff return for a touchdown against the Denver Broncos. But it was really week 17 last year in San Diego when Nile Davis was made the number one running back for that game, and he responded with two touchdowns. Let's go under the helmet with 227 pounds of 4.37 speed, Nile Davis.
Nile Davis back in. Jenkins goes into the backfield in an offset eye spot. Trap play goes to Nile Davis up the middle, 15, inside the 10, breaks a tackle, touchdown! Kansas City!
Well, I think we executed good. You know, we kind of set it up. And it was a trap scheme, and just hit it north and south. That's what I do. This.
Turn him loose! Beast alert! A 21-yard run by the beast, Nile Davis.
Just, I was on a mission that game. You know, I had something to prove that game. And, you know, when I saw opportunity to score, I was going to make the most of it. And great runners make safeties miss. You don't want to never let just one person tackle you. You can help it, so I was just looking to score.
Nile Davis, 227 pounds of 4.37 speed.
And I'm a north and south runner with a little bit of wiggle.
Nile Davis going off tackle left, touchdown!
You know, just want to be a consistent downhill runner. You know, that's my goal. And to me, the reason I play the game is for respect. You know, just, you just got to respect me. You know, you play good defenses that you have to respect. So, you know, in return, all I can ask for is that the defense respect me. They know I can go around them, go through them. So just, you know, just that respect. You know, that's why I play the game.
First down to run with Davis. Nile Davis, one man to beat. Davis chased by McCourty. Cut back inside and stepped out of bounds.
And he explodes. Look at this ball handling. Patriots didn't fit the run correctly, and off went Nile Davis for another big run.
It was fun, you know. I mean, I just could feel the energy, you know, with the whole team, you know, especially the offensive line. They enjoy running blocking. So I just felt like we created some chemistry there. You know, we had created a rhythm and had fun doing it, you know, and it kind of showed us that we can run the ball.
Well, the way they use these two backs is exciting. You got a world-class speed runner like Jamal Charles. You chase him around, and then they bring in the 227-pound Davis.
Me and Jamal, the little 1-2 punch that we did have versus the Patriots, it was beautiful. It was fun. You know, he went out there and, you know, he was being Jamal.
What a finish by Jamal Charles.
Wide receiver screen inside the five. Stretches out. Touchdown.
Smith looks right. Charles for the third time.
You know, they got me excited. It made me want to go out there and compete too. And I did, and it looked good. You know, it just showed what we are capable of doing.
Come on, push it up. Push it up. Good, good, good. Hit. Break. Good pop. Good pop. Good pop. As I'm here. Boom, be violent, do something. Because why? I'm going to grab you and take you wherever I want to take you.
I mean, only me and him know where I've come from. You know, behind the scenes, behind closed doors, mentally, you know. And it's great progress. And the better I do, the more comfortable I get with things. He's actually starting to back off, you know. And I think he's kind of letting us, you know, grow up. And it's just been beautiful, man. And I thank him for his hard approach. It was things in college that I just wasn't aware of in the game of football, because you do need a little more time, a little more reps. It's a lot to ask for a young freshman that has to balance school and things like that to do. You know, now I'm in the league, I got nothing but time to learn this. So, I mean, I've learned the game. You know, I'm aware. It makes you play better. It makes you play more comfortable and confident when you know what's going on. And that's, you know, EB played a big part in that.
Davis will get a turn. Point of attack blocking outstanding. They are carving the Patriots up here tonight. Gain of 16.
He's unselfish. Knows the game. He has great fundamentals. He has heart. You know, he has a great personality. He'll do anything for you on and off the field. It's just one of those things. Kind of Alex has that. Travis, Sherman, Jamal. When they're there, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just feel comfortable that things are going to go right. And it's always good to have guys like that. It's going to be fun. The good thing about the losses, you get more hungry. It's definitely a humbling experience. And I just feel like we're going to come out with a lot of attitude, a lot of swagger. And it's going to be a good, tough dog fight, just like the 49ers were. And I think, you know, we can win.
Hey, thanks for joining us on this week's show. Next week, the Chiefs finally get to come back to Arrowhead Stadium, and they'll entertain the St. Louis Rams. It'll also be Breast Cancer Awareness Day, one of the most important days of the entire NFL season here in the Chiefs Kingdom. And we'll get you ready for that rivalry here on Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Sprint, the official wireless service provider of the Chiefs. And by Truman Medical Centers,
TMC and the Chiefs, partners for a healthy community.
Trap.